This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now here's your host, the guru himself, John Hansen.
Good afternoon. Welcome to a Tuesday edition of Prop Points right here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen. FantasyPoints.com. The program, as always, being produced by Mr. Michael Cohen. And as always, it's brought to you by Better Picks, the daily fantasy sports app where you turn your sports knowledge into real cash fast. Download Better at better.app, B-E-T-R.app. Sign up today. Get that free $10 deposit bonus. No, actually, get the free $10. No deposit necessary. And also make sure you download the Prop Points podcast on Spotify or Apple, wherever you get your pods. Week four in the books last night, couple of football games. We'll break them down. It was a pretty successful night. Always going to have buzzkills like losing Jalen Waddle by 3 yards. But overall, we did emerge victorious. So another winning night, another winning week. We will absolutely take it. We'll break down everything from last night's doubleheader. And we'll also talk waiver wire, as we always do, in the final segment. Coming up in the next segment, we'll do a little buy low, sell high, players to trade and trade for. Big fantasy day on a Tuesday. And then in segment number three, at the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with Stephen O'Rourke of Fantasy Points Data, just popping out winning picks, one week after another, quite frankly. Speaking of winning, let's take a look at last night's action, because I was a little perturbed by the football gods kind of screwing me over a little bit, as they always do every single week. I went back and I looked, and I had, I think it was 12 very close losses and only 3 very close wins. Very typical of yours truly. So at the very least, if you're going to lose following this show, it'll be close. Most likely it'll be close. We did not get the Jalen Waddle prop there at 51. I mean, that thing should have been in the bag. What happened was the Tyreek Hill injury did not help, because we saw a little Sauce Gardner on Waddle after that. You noticed before Tyreek's injury, and he was good before suffering the injury, Waddle caught a 25-yarder, not on Sauce Gardner. So that was the problem there. J.K. Dobbins, we did say yesterday that J.K. did not stand for just kidding. Tom Brawley, the grinder, liked the over the yardage. That was the better play, because to see, this is my luck. It's like R.J. Harvey, non-factor. So I go in on the over the carry total, and 14 carries for R.J. Harvey. Now, it was a blowout, so we kind of figured that would happen. But if I wanted that to happen, if I saw, oh, look, R.J. Harvey's going to get carries, it's a blowout, never happening. Never happening. But, hey, not complaining, because a win is a win is a win. And I also, if you watched yesterday's show, I was kind of feeling Bo Nix based on the data. And I did say it was a good schematic matchup per Fantasy Points Data. And what happened? He threw, man, I mean, he completed 29 balls of 42 attempts for 326. Pretty good day there for Bro Nix. He didn't run much, but he did run one in. And I got to tell you, this is what I like about Sean Payton, because some other coaches would take their foot off the gas. Not this guy. Still throwing it, even though it was a, they got debacled, did the Bengals. So we did get that one. Now, the Tua Tagovailoa one, worthy shot. I did think he would have a good game. He did. They both ran the ball a little bit more than I thought. So the Tyreek Hill injury did not help at all. So we come 5 completion shy there. Yeah, it was a worthy play. I thought I had to get a little weird. Oh, this one here sticks in the old craw. T. Higgins, over 49.5. He was their leading receiver, as pretty much predicted. But if you watched the game, you saw that 35-yarder. A brilliant play on the right side. Browning saw single coverage, threw it up to T, made a great catch, hits the prop. Called back for a penalty that I don't think really had much to do with the play. So we lose that one. But as you can see, we came really close to 8-1 last night. as Justin Fields. That was an easy win. The grinder, Tom Brawley, and I were sharing a brain on that one. And then how about my Evan Engram call? Ballsy. He did finish with 7 targets, second on the team behind Franklin, of all people. And he crushed it. Now, he didn't score. We did have him as a Thursday night special. But hey, I'll take that. I think when the special doesn't hit, I want to see, at least am I on the right track? Yeah, I think so. And I think what I said yesterday about the tight ends was prevalent. That, you know, one thing, little RJ Harvey, get him going. But one thing that's been missing from their offense is plays from their tight ends. We actually saw multiple plays. Troutman made a couple of big ones, won the 26-yarder. And then, of course, Evan Engram. He didn't make many big plays, although he did have one call back. Now, I'm not sure if Evan Engram is going to be a good waiver wire pickup, but he's in that mix. I mean, he is a pretty talented guy. It is a pretty good offense. But they still have Troutman, and they do spread that ball around. But I do think he's going to command the ball just a little bit here and get 5-7 targets just about every week. Garrett Wilson, will admit we got lucky on that, although the analysis, I think, was good. I thought that Miami would have success, so they would have to throw a little bit more of the Jets. It kind of played out. But we did win this one on the last play of the game, baby. Screen pass, pinned in. Last play of the game. And then, of course, all the laterals and all that. But the catch still counted. So thank you for that, Mr. Garrett Wilson. And then Chase Brown, another victory here. But, man, these Bengals are in big-time trouble because Jake Browning – well, I think it starts with the offensive line. The offensive line's not good. And it's putting Jake Browning in a tough spot. They're really bad. This is not going to end well. I don't see them scratching and clawing their way back to respectability. Again, they can't run the ball. They can't protect. Browning has been exposed a little bit. He's not as good as he was a couple of years ago. The book's out on him a little bit. So maybe we'll talk a little Jamar Chase on the trade and trade for segment coming up actually next. Spoiler alert, we do. Because I do think this is looking rather ugly. But yeah, RJ Harvey looked great. Certainly going to have to be patient, but these rookie running backs, not a coincidence that they all kind of starting to heat up a little bit here in week number 4. We are very impatient with these rookies and all players. We want everyone going off in week 1, but these guys definitely need a minute, as RJ Harvey has shown, and he looked really good. Like I said, caught 4 balls, 4.1 yards a carry, 14 carries, very solid day for Harvey. But Dobbins looks really good as well. The other game here, any thoughts there? Well, obviously the Tyreek Hill injury is very paramount. I thought it was, by the way, quite bizarre. It did appear like he was celebrating. I'm sorry, but I thought it was weird. I mean, the vibes have been weird on Tyreek for a while. So my man's going through some stuff and now lost for the season with a torn ACL. I think a lot of people watching him being wheeled off there were thinking this could be the last we see of Tyreek Hill. That was my thought. Now, we'll see. Still a relatively young guy. Maybe he wants to keep earning paychecks, but bad vibes, weird vibes, and now he's done for the season. This tends to happen. This is kind of why I track the vibes. I don't know if there's a real I think there is a correlation sometimes between just vibes, you know, and then bad things happen to players. Maybe they're distracted. Maybe they've got an off-field issue. Maybe they're hiding some sort of injury, but the vibes will give us a good insight there. So we do move up in the world with Jalen Waddle. Malik Washington is a little bit of a Tyree clone. You got Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, who you want to make your shot plays, but I thought it was pretty ironic. They lose Tyreek in a game where they rediscovered Darren Waller. I was definitely taking a wait-and-see approach on Darren Waller, and, well, now we saw. Keep in mind, he is still just a part-time player, so he will be probably touchdown-dependent and all that, but they do need a big body in that passing game, and he did provide that, especially in the red zone. And oh, by the way, how about Mason Taylor? We did go with him as the Thursday night special. Didn't work, but I think it's a pretty good call when the guy's second on the team in targets, just like Evan Engram, ironically. just like Evan Engram with seven targets. Wish I would have played one of his catch or yardage prop totals because we did like the matchup. That's why we went there in terms of the Thursday night special. But Mason Taylor only had like four grabs going into the game for like 20, 30 yards. So we're not going with a guy with that profile. But now that we've seen it, I think we're looking at Mason Taylor as a guy that we could use. He looks like second option in the passing game, really, because the other receivers are not good. So there it is. Week four in the books, wrapping up. We normally take some time here to catch you up on news, notes, and nuggets. The main things here, NFL Network reporting that Lamar Jackson is up in the air for week five. J.J. McCarthy is hoping to practice this week, so we'll see about that. And the Vikings lost Brian O'Neill, not the actor Ryan O'Neill. He is week to week with a knee injury, so their O-line continues to be just debacled. And Brock Purdy with the toe, it's a short week, and he is questionable, so it could be McCorkle Jones time again. We'll talk players to trade and trade for, buy low, sell high on the other side. But first, if you think you know sports, it's time to get paid for it. Better Picks, the daily fantasy sports app, where your sports knowledge turns into real cash fast. Download the Better app, pick more or less on your favorite player stats, and if your pick hits, you win. NFL kickoff, new users get free $10 just for signing up. When you deposit, you can earn up to $200 in bonuses. Better.app. Head on over to the Google Play Store or the App Store. Pop in the code VSIN trade and trade for next.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. A Tuesday edition of Prop Points right here on VSIN. I'm John Hansen, fantasypoints.com. Tuesday, a big fantasy day, obviously. We are going to be talking week five with Stephen O'Rourke in the next segment, but we do take a look at the trade market right here in the second segment on a Tuesday. And look, it's been a weird year. I guess they're all weird. There are not many trends. It's just kind of all over the place. So everything is on an individual basis. Everyone's team is different. Everyone has different needs. So it can be a little difficult to make blanket statements about trading, but all I'm trying to do is isolate assets who are down, depressed a little bit, who should see increase in return, basically. Buy low, sell high, all that. So not really rocket science. I look at a variety of factors, vibes, schedule, supporting cast, injuries around them, current production, things like that. So let's get into it. Let's start with Jaden Daniels. Now, it's been a weird year, quarterback. You know, we currently have in the top 12 guys like Caleb Williams, Daniel Jones, Dak Prescott. I guess every year is like this, but, you know, it's just there aren't that many really good quarterbacks. Like, and when you really look at it, I think Patty Mahomes, by the way, is looking like one of them. But, you know, Allen, Lamar's already hurt. Jalen Hurts hasn't actually crushed it, but he's certainly been good. Jordan Love's a little week to week, you know. Herbert is Chargers going to charge, you know. So when you really look at it in terms of a potential needle mover, I think Jaden Daniels stands out a little bit. The value's down, obviously. Speaking of value down, I think I'm ready to buy on Derrick Henry. Always a risk when you are investing in an aging running back, especially a bigger guy, because those guys tend to fall off a cliff. But I think he still looks good. I think they've been without Patrick Ricard, their fullback. That doesn't help. The issues are not just him in that the defense isn't very good. Lamar has been a little up and down, obviously. Let's not also forget that Derrick Henry, over the course of his career, has traditionally been a lot better in the second half of the year. Obviously, the weather getting colder. So I went back. I'm looking at the schedule. I'm like, you know, I see some volume here. Houston this week, Rams. they're good against the run. That's a tough one. But Chicago, Miami, Minnesota, Cleveland, the Jets, Bengals, Steelers, Bengals, Patriots, and then the frozen tundra in Green Bay. So I think this looks pretty conducive toward fantasy production. I'm going to also look to acquire Ladd McConkey. And I did say all summer, as much as I love Ladd, that I thought he was being overvalued just a tad by the markets. You know, they brought in Keenan Allen, Quentin Johnson has improved, but we're a little out of control here. He's only wide receiver 51. He's a lot better than that. The data still looks good. He's still good. He is currently behind some serious scrubs like Kevontae Turpin, Juju Smith-Schuster, Cedric Tillman, Troy Franklin, Keon Coleman. I mean, he's better than all these guys. Rashid Shaheed. So I would be very interested in trading for Ladd McConkey. Also, how about Jameson Williams? Struggle bus a little bit. Just missed a couple of big plays. But Lions are okay offensively. We're doing all right. Jared Goff is Jared Goff. So it's only a matter of time till we start hitting on some big plays there. Sammy Laporta, same guy. You know, we won that prop last week, but it's been very he's been very unlucky. I think it's a little ridiculous. He looks good. Boy, my man can't buy a touchdown, but I think regression is forthcoming. So I would look at Sam Laporta if I needed a tight end. I'd also wouldn't mind looking at Tucker Kraft. I mean, his value isn't down per se, but it could raise. It could rise significantly. And then also a couple of leftovers from last week. Travion Henderson, again, got to be patient. Let's not forget that Ramondre and Antonio Gibson are both fumblers. So one or two more fumbles, and Travion may be in business. Now, look, maybe he's just not that great as a runner. So we will learn that. But you know, I still think volume, he'll get the touches, and he's a great receiver that we know. Chris Olave, another spillover from last week. He did score, didn't do as well as I thought. And then Brock Bowers, again, I'm ready to buy on Brock Bowers because the injury is one in which he can play through it and progress and get better. I thought he looked a little bit better last week. He's looked a little bit better compared to the first week that he played with the injury. Let's next up take a look at some players to trade, and I'll look at Ja'Marr Chase. Now, again, it's you got to be careful here because, you know, you don't want to sell low at the end of the day. So sometimes when you have a struggling star like Chase, for me, I'll just, if I can't get a good deal, I'm like, all right, well, I'm just going to suck it up and roll with him. And he is Ja'Marr Chase. Things will level off, try to say two things at once there. But I don't think Jake Browning's very good. The O-line is terrible. The matchups don't look wonderful. I mean, I don't love them the next 4 weeks against Detroit, Green Bay, Pittsburgh, and the Jets. He is fourth in target share and first read share, but he's only 29th in air yard share. So he's getting these high percentage touches. Great. It's good in PPR, but they're not really translating to much as T. Higgins is kind of the downfield guy. Next up, how about Dalton Kincaid? Lost a prop there by 4 yards. And I guess I should have known because I love the matchup. And he made one big play on the matchup. But the Bills are the NFL's version of socialism. Everyone gets a piece of the pie. Basically, that's the problem. And Kincaid being a former number one pick, doesn't matter. He's still only 28th in route participation at tight end at 55.9. And that is behind guys like Cole Kmet, Dalton Schultz, Chigakonkwo, Theo Johnson, A.J. Barner. I mean, come on, Jake Tongas. That's not good. So that's why he's on the list. Minimal opportunities there for Kincaid. They also have another tight end they like in Dawson Knox. Travis Etienne, I'll put him back on the list. He's looked good. I'm still not buying it. He has yet to see a top run defense, and I don't love him up against Kansas City and Seattle and the Rams in their next three games. Also, Chuba Hubbard, they're in trouble. You do have Rico Dowdle. I am not feeling warm and fuzzy about Chuba Hubbard, one of the most game script dependent running backs in the league, and they're not winning a lot of games. Quentin Johnson, he has been noticeably improved, no doubt about it. Got to give him credit. But right now he's tied for Garrett Wilson with the 6 most targets in the game so far. 11th in terms of target, his percentage of his team's yards. It's a great sign. He is physically gifted and he's getting the ball, but I just don't think it's sustainable. I'm not buying it. I think things will even out, level off. And that's why I would trade him and maybe even trade for Ladd McConkey. Marvin Harrison, we saw him struggling on Thursday. That will likely continue. I don't know if one play in the end zone turns it around. Really, the problem is Kyler Murray. So I wouldn't be opposed coming off of a solid game on national TV with a touchdown. I wouldn't be opposed to moving off of Marvin. Also wouldn't be opposed to selling high on Romeo Doubs, of course. We knew this was coming. We really did. I didn't go with the prop because I have the worst luck ever. So, of course, he hits. But we didn't know it was coming. Also, Kyle Pitts, not really buying that. Mooney got hurt last week. If he returns this week, we could go back to, not crushing it. And then Juwan Johnson was looking really good, but guess who's activated off the PUP or eligible? Taysom Hill and also Foster Moreau. So wouldn't be opposed to moving off of Juwan Johnson. Well, we'll talk to Stephen O'Rourke and see what he has popping for week 5 on the other side. But first, the NFL season is rolling. Every snap brings new opportunities. Make sure you've got the edge with VSiN Pro. Right now, you can save 40% on our football season special with the promo code PROP. You'll get VSiN Pro access to every single thing we do across every sport from now through the Super Bowl. That means daily best bets, plus a leaderboard and our top experts, real-time DraftKings and Circa betting splits updated every 5 minutes, proven betting systems and pro tools at VSiN.com, 24/7 video replays and live breakdowns on the VSiN Watch app. Don't wait. Lock in 40% off today with the promo code PROP at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Stephen O'Rourke from Fantasy Points and Fantasy Points Data will join us next here on this Tuesday edition of Prop Points on VSiN.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to a Tuesday edition of Prop Points right here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen. We'll go right to the progressive guest line, get some data, some tips for week 5. Stephen O'Rourke, senior film analyst over at Fantasy Points and Fantasy Points Data on the X machine at Call Me Steve 07. What is up, Steve? I'm sure you're ready to rock and roll. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Another good week. It feels like, I think I heard you say it in the last segment, it just feels like chaos all around. And it's like just so hard to predict what's going to happen each week. I mean, it feels like a total crapshoot, but that's made it fun this year a little bit. It's been exciting to watch. I mean, I feel like the quality of games have been pretty crazy this year so far.
Yeah. Well, you may think it's fun, but it's not a lot of fun when you're trying to get these props right. But we're doing okay.
I know.
Here on the program, let's get into it here, and let's start with the football game tomorrow. Or actually, it's wishful thinking. The football game on Thursday between the Niners and the Rams. We don't know about Ricky Pearsall. We don't know about Juwan Jennings. Certainly seems like Jennings is better off than Ricky, but what do we know about the data? I know the Rams have always been, typically last year, an outside funnel. What do we got here in terms of data for Purdy in this matchup against the Rams?
Yeah, and, the Rams are kind of trending the same way this year. They really squeeze the middle of the field. They give up just 5.5 yards per attempt to slot, in line, and backfield targets combined. So they really constrict the middle of the field. They get a lot of pressure. They have the fifth highest pressure rate in the NFL. They only give up 4.88 yards per scramble, and they allow a lot, like a better completion percentage yards per attempt to out wide targets. They give up 9.65 yards per attempt and 68% completion percentage to targets out wide. That's the one part of the game that Purdy's kind of struggled with this year. I mean, that comes from both, you know, in and out of with receivers, as well as just, I think, the scheme of the offense. He's completed 47% of his passes to out wide targets, just 11 to 23, and he has three interceptions going out there too. You've seen like the Colts and, you know, a couple of, and the Eagles, the way they moved the ball was kind of picking on Emmanuel Forbes against the Rams. I don't know if Purdy's going to be able to do that this week. Even if you go back to last year, he averaged only 217 passing yards a game against the Rams. So I just think that overall, this could be somewhat of a defensive matchup, but I just think Purdy struggles all around.
Daniel Jones did struggle last week. I thought he should have had a solid day, though. Obviously, A.D. Mitchell dropping that touchdown did not help. Up against the Raiders this week, and you do have some promising data on Danny Dimes.
Yeah, and I got burned a little bit last week with going against the Raiders defense with Caleb Williams, but I think that that's more so on Caleb than it is, you know, the improvement of the Raiders defense, in my opinion. Daniel Jones has, you know, overall played really well this year, and a lot of that has come off of play action pass. He's averaging 9.87 yards per attempt on play action passes, which is fifth in the NFL. He has an 82.6% catchable ball rate, which is eighth in the NFL. And he has the most play action dropbacks in the NFL this season. The Raiders have given him 9.17 yards per attempt on play action passes, which is 28th in the NFL. And overall, they give up almost 11 yards an attempt to targets out wide, which is third to last in the NFL. Michael Pittman on play action passes, 28% target rate, lines up out wide on 72% of the passes. I think Daniel Jones has an opportunity to play against a little bit of a softer zone this week, which is where he's excelled early in the year, is picking apart soft zones and allowing for those like crossers over the middle stuff to open up. So I think that, you know, Daniel Jones looks like a good play this week. Michael Pittman, I expect more, more deep shots to A.D. Mitchell. I just think that overall, the game script, the way the Raiders defend the run, I think that Indiana is really going to push play action to set up the run. So it's going to be a little bit more pass happy, I think, for them.
Well, also say about Alec Pierce, too. I mean, he was concussed last week. I guess he, in theory, has a chance to return this week. Steven O'Rourke of Fantasy Points Data on the line with us. Well, in that same game, we've got Trey Tucker came up a little small last week. It seems counterintuitive with Indy running two high coverages that you like a deep threat, but what do you have on Trey Tucker in that matchup?
Yeah, it's interesting because you would think that two high coverage would limit it a little bit, but Trey Tucker seems to be the guy that can kind of outrun that, and Geno's not afraid to let it rip.
Right.
He has just a 17% target share against two high coverage, but that is second on the Raiders. Jacoby Myers actually leads the team in that. Colts run two high coverage on 60% of their defensive dropbacks. Trey Tucker does average 2.1 yards per route run, which is tied for 25th in the NFL against two high. And he lines up primarily out wide, and that's where the Colts have been susceptible, is, you know, particularly targeting against Xavien Howard. The Colts give up 9.1 yards per attempt to wide receivers out wide, including a 73.5% completion percentage. And the A-dot that they give up in that is like up in the 10, so it's higher in the NFL. So they've been a little bit susceptible to those hole shots in a too high zone. So I think Geno is going to get pushed again, pass heavy. The Colts run defense has been really good. And I think that Trey Tucker getting matched up against Xavien Howard will give him an opportunity to, you know, go deep a couple times this week. And I expect him to take advantage of it. Geno's, you know, shown that ability. And, you know, I just think that they're going to be forced to push the ball deep.
Yeah. Puka got Xavien Howard on that one big play on the left side early in the game. I know that.
Yeah.
A lot of people forgot that Xavien Howard was even still in the league. It was a time when he was really good, but that is not in 2025. And then last one you have here, Nico Collins. I was very high on him and Brian Thomas. I feel okay about Nico, not Brian Thomas. Did like him last week as a prop, and he hit that. But, you know, it's kind of pulling teeth a little bit. Maybe you need a good schematic matchup or another situation that's fortuitous or conducive to production. What do you have on Nico this week against Baltimore?
Yeah, I don't know if this is willed into existence for my own sanity, but I do like the matchup just with how Nico Collins played last year against man coverage. Last year, he averaged 4 yards per route run, which was top in the NFL, and he had a 26% target rate against man coverage. So overall, he was the guy that they went to, and he was the guy that could, you know, make people pay when lining up against him in man coverage. Baltimore runs 55% man coverage. They struggle to get pressure. They're just coming off of, you know, a game last week where they got 25% pressure rate against the Chiefs O-line, which has, you know, struggled in the past couple of years with giving up pressure. Then before that, I mean, you know, they struggle against lines to get pressure as well. So that at least bodes well for CJ Stroud. We know it's been a somewhat disaster with that offensive line, and it's impacted his play. It's impacted, I think, the way they've used Nico Collins as well. But if CJ Stroud can be kept clean a little bit this week, it'll allow him to look downfield more. And Nico, I think, has the ability to, you know, obviously break the game if he wants to. I just think that I'm hoping that the Nico Collins usage changes up a little bit. I haven't loved what I've seen from Houston so far. I'd like to see them use him a little bit more intermediate, a little bit more over the middle. I hope to see that this week. That's where Baltimore has struggled, is on those targets over the middle, you know, and they've struggled to squeeze the middle of the field. So I think Nico Collins and CJ Stroud have a big week this week. Baltimore's given up a lot of points, given up a lot of yards to other teams. And I'm thinking that Houston might have a bounce back game this week.
While we have a minute, you are Michigan based, you are a Lions guy. Is Jahmyr Gibbs that expanded role? Is that for real? Cause I think we wish casted that. And would you trade low for either J-Mo or LaPorta right now?
I do think that role is legit. I think Morton has shown that, you know, it doesn't matter if both Demo and Jahmyr are on the field. Like, I think he shows that he wants to do that. I think Jahmyr, he was my RB1 coming into the year, and I think that's going to continue to flesh out. I think they continue to build feed him carries and give him targets. I just think he's going to only continue to grow within that offense. And I would buy low on J-Mo. I agree with buying low on J-Mo. I think that, you know, last week they showed they want to push the ball to him deep. The usage has been a little bit interesting. It's a lot of just vertical routes. I'd like to see them get him working more on crossers. They actually did it later in the game last week against Cleveland. They had him on a crossing route, and I think he picked up like 28, 29 yards. I'd like to see that more. And if they do, I really do think J-Mo has an opportunity to be a, you know, 20 yards a target, 7 targets a game, 4 receptions, you know, 4 receptions, 80 yards, touchdown here and there. I think that's where his, you know, ceiling, you know, upper floor should be.
Great stuff there, as always, from Stephen O'Rourke. Follow him on the X Machine at CallMeSteve07. Thanks for that, Steve. We'll talk waiver wire on the other side. But first, if you think you know sports, start getting paid for it. Better Picks, the daily fantasy sports app where your sports knowledge turns into cash. Sign up today, get a free $10, no deposit needed. When you do deposit, you can earn up to $200 in bonuses for the NFL kickoff. Better still giving you $40 for every friend you bring in. Download Better in the App Store or Google Play. Head to better.app, use the promo code VEASAN for your free $10 and deposit bonus. Waiver wire pickups next here on Prop Points on VEASAN.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Final segment here on a Tuesday, but we will pop out a best bet at the end of the program. For Thursday Night Football, I'm already in. Very decisive. In. So stay tuned for that. But let's take a look at your top waiver wire pickups. Apparently, no one listened to me and others on Woody Marks last week because he's still available in 70% of Yahoo leagues. But as I mentioned, this guy's not just a receiving specialist. He's got pop in the running game, and you love the receiving chops because it makes it ensures that he's not game script dependent. And I felt like he took over the backfield last week, 57% carry share, 18% target share, and he got the only backfield touchdown. Absolutely no sign of Joe Mixon returning anytime soon. So Marks is locked into a role that should guarantee him 15 opportunities every week. Keep in mind, it's not a good offense, and he's not going to do it every week, but, you know, this is a good option for running back needy teams. Brenton Strange is a pretty good option for wides or tight end needy teams. He is second on the team in receiving. He is the only Jaguar other than Brian Thomas to maintain at least a 10% target share in every game. And he's actually been trending upward 12.9, 11.9, 17.5 to last week, 22.6. I don't think he's that great, but he's a big dude and Trevor Lawrence isn't very good. It's like throwing a football to a couch. And that is, I would complete a high percentage of passes if I threw to a couch. So I can still see Trevor Lawrence looking toward Brenton Strange continually all year. The Giants have to replace Malik Nabers. Of course, you have two guys there that we're looking at. One is Darius Slayton. I'm going to give him the edge over Wandale. Wandale is the cheat code PPR spammer in the middle of the field, underneath high targets. I know he's been getting downfield throws earlier in the year, whereas obviously Darius Slayton is your prototypical outside receiver. He's actually good and way more big play potential. So in this case, I'm going to lean towards Slayton being the better pickup compared to Wandale, because I just don't know if Jackson Dart is going to, you know, support a lot of volume. It wasn't a great sign, by the way, that Wandale only got 3 catches for 14 in Dart's first start. It was a 24% target share, but that's not very impressive. Kenny Gainwell, he was pretty impressive. He's on the list. The Steeler backfield averages 26.8 weighted opportunities per game. If you look at that over the course of a whole year, last year, that would have ranked second in the NFL behind the Lions, who supported 2 running backs. So it does look like Pittsburgh can support 2 running backs for fantasy production, and one of them will not be Caleb Johnson, the rookie, who is clearly still not ready for prime time. So Kenny Gainwell, they did handpick him in free agency and brought him in. So, and he looked great in week number 4, that's for sure. Elik Iemanar. I mean, can we please pick him up so I don't have to keep talking about him every week? Nobody cares, apparently. But they actually had a new play caller last week. Bo Hardigree. I'm not familiar with Bo Hardigree. I'm sorry. But it was interesting that Iemanar led them in target share. He had a 26.9% target share in the first game of the Bo Hardigree era as the offensive coordinator and play caller, as the play caller. Next up, this could be critical, Rashad White, because Bucky Irving, it's still undisclosed, but I saw Rick Stroud, who is a longtime beat writer, this morning tweet, speculate that probably going to miss a game or two with Bucky. So that means that Rashad White is plug and play. Great receiver, very improved running the rock. Yes, I love Rashad White like a son, but he is also good. So he's a priority add. Here's a couple more. We've got Jalen Coker. I would pick him up now. He's eligible to come off IR. They're dying at receiver. Kendre Miller, I thought, looked good for the Saints. There's an outside chance they trade Alvin Kamara. Obviously, they're not going anywhere. They just signed him to a year or two extension, and he's still all right. They also have Devin Neal, who is a good prospect, so they don't need all these guys. Again, they're not going anywhere. So on the chance that Kamara's moved, Kendre Miller would be the immediate fill-in. I still like Matt Stafford. He is on my list. I had him on there last week. He's averaging 290 passing yards a game and multiple touchdowns in his last 3. That's not too shabby. Also, got to give love to Darren Waller. He's not on the list, but I was in 100% wait-and-see mode with Waller. But he looked good. Scored 2 touchdowns. Tyreek is out. Also, Malik Washington, certainly. You know, it's funny because, you know, when he came out, I thought, you know, well, there you go. There's a Tyreek Hill clone right there. He's maybe a replacement. He'll get opportunities, no question about it, for the Miami Dolphins. I also have Romeo Doubs. Of course, I'd pick him up and trade him, basically. But, you know, I'm not opposed to trading him, although he might be all right. We also have Theo Johnson, who did come in and get pretty good usage with Jackson Dart. Team high 5 targets last week. So maybe with Malik Nabers out, they lean a little bit more on Theo Johnson. And then one more, Tommy Tremble. We did bring him up on Friday's show. Scott Barrett liked it. I looked into it over the weekend. I'm like, yeah, I also like Tommy Tremble. I went with a prop, and he did hit. If Jatavion Sanders is out, Tommy Tremble is going to get some looks. We have one more very important thing on the docket today. It is a best bet for week 5. We're already out in front of it. It is brought to you by G-Bank. G-Bank is built with sports bettors in mind. Right now, you can earn a $50 cashback reward bonus once you're approved and your account is opened with the G-Bank Visa signature card. Most credit cards treat sportsbook and gaming transactions as cash advances, even when it's your own money. G-Bank, though, treats them as regular purchases. That means no cash advance fees, saving you 3-5% on every deposit. Plus, you'll earn 1% cash back on all eligible sportsbook and gaming transactions and 2% cash back on everything else you buy. Apply now at VSiN.com/GBank. That is VSiN.com/GBank. And then coming up when we sign off at the top of the hour on prop points for Money Moves with Stormy Bonantoni and Jonathan Von Tobel at 2 p.m. Eastern on today's show, Adam Burke dives into updated MLB playoff numbers and college football line movement with Ariel Epstein highlights player. Plus Ariel Epstein highlights player props for tonight's baseball slate. As we have baseball tonight, my LA Dodgers taking on the Cincinnati Reds. So weird. I don't think the Dodgers have ever played the Reds in the playoffs. I'm hoping that they emerge victorious. By the way, Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard comes your way at 4 Eastern. And then stick around for VSiN Prime Time with Tim Murray and Matt Eumanns at 7 o'clock. I know our guy, Jeff Erickson, is a big Reds fan. So I'm sure he's been waiting. Well, they did win one series right there with the Nasty Boys. What was that, 90 or 91? He's been waiting, though, 30-plus years for his Reds to make a move. So good luck to Jeff Erickson's Reds. And I don't think you'll need luck with the best bet that I'm going to pop out right now. It is for tomorrow's football game. Always worry about availability and injuries, but we have been talking about Xavien Howard, who is a cornerback for the Rams, not the Rams, the Niners. Oh, actually, I'm all screwed up here. Let me just do this. We're going with Davante Adams. Over 4.5 receptions up against the Niners. They are vulnerable on the outside. If you can protect against them, you can throw the ball. Puka Nacua, obviously coming off a massive game. He'll be a little bit of a mark man. So I like Davante to catch some balls on the outside. They still throw the ball plenty. And Davante, I know he had that hamstring, but he still looks pretty darn good, and he looked very good last week. That is a wrap on today's show. Tomorrow, we'll be joined by Brett Whitefield of FantasyPoints.com, who, oh, by the way, only went 6-0 on his props last week. We'll see what he has cooking for week number 5. That is a wrap on the program. We'll catch you mañana, another edition of Prop Points.